It does seem to be a more people kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have written that in the grad room library then. Theme for the day. It was until it was canceled, then. Until we all got fired.
The one in spirit is already receiving revelation, but if you're in the hot tub, that shows you that you're in hot pursuit.
Yeah, right.
One zoom, the other end. Yes, I talked to Lance about it, that'll be fine. I told him probably not this Friday, but the Friday after.
We
ought to mention it here especially.
Not this Friday, not tomorrow, but the Friday following in chapel, as many of you guys that have had Greek and even Hebrew and so forth, but especially Greek, that can be there in chapel just to share some of your own experiences with Greek, hopefully positive. We want to try to encourage, you know, support for the Greek class. We're going to offer Greek next semester, and Brother John Harold here is going to be teaching that. So I remember I told you before, you never know when you're going to be called upon, and you're going to teach it on a volunteer basis here. And we want to try to encourage some students to sign up for it that haven't, and some of you that are undergraduates especially, would be your testimonies would be really valuable there, because a lot of undergraduates are feeling like, oh, Greek, you know, and the intimidation factors are all high. And, you know,
still feeling that way.
Yeah. Well, present an honest viewpoint. You know, we don't want you to come and tell them that, oh, Greek is so easy, you know, there's nothing to it, because we don't want people to, a lot of people sign up and then get axed the first half the semester or something because it was more than they could chew. But nevertheless, we want people to realize, especially those that are minded towards scholarship, and some of you that have had some experience in your own personal research or in the graduate program too, that can share what the benefits of Greek are would really be important. We want them to find it, to realize why should we take Greek, what will it do for you, what will it do for you more than, say, Greek orientation or something like that would do for you, and you know, enable them to count the cost. But you know, we have the opportunity that we won't be offering Hebrew, just Greek next time, and we want to try to get as many in as possible, and some graduate students that want to get into the graduate program, and there's nothing, not going to be anything specifically offered except advanced theological principles, which is only 2 hours. They could get into the Greek program and start building up some hours for that. Yeah, John, did you?
I was just going to say, there is a prevalent attitude that that there's enough Greek works written that, you know,
yeah,
if you don't really need Greek, you can just go get it all out of there. But
right.
And so that needs to be.
Yeah. Maybe you can even share some things along those lines as to what the difference is. Yeah, it's. It's really important to, you know, there are Greek works available, but they can, but the most you can really do without a knowledge of grammar, but the only way you can really use them is for word studies and that type of thing. You might be able to pick up a few grammatical points, but you're always a little bit in limbo as to what they're meaning, you know, and you can kind of take what they're saying, but if you don't understand the picture, you haven't any ability to make judgments, especially if you've got two sources saying different things. Then what do? If you don't really have some basis of an understanding of the grammar yourself to make a decision and be able to decide which guy is being biased by his theology and which one isn't, or vice versa, you know, you've got nothing to really go by. So I think we do need to, judging from the experience in the graduate program, the students that have had Greek and Hebrew, Greek and or Hebrew background, are always very thankful they have it, and it also gives us a dimension in that class to do things that we couldn't do otherwise. And so we often, you know, the ones that have the background, we have to use them, because we get into questions that you've got to have some background in the grammar. Not only do word studies, it's not enough just to look up in the lexicon and find the word and get a word study on it. It's the grammatical relationships that are really critical. something like that thing we wrestled with on the board the other day with 1 Timothy 3:16. Even if you can't come up with a dogmatic answer, you need to know where you stand. You need to know what you can say, what you can't say, and have a good, sound position on it as to what you can say, lest you be dogmatic about something you can't support and then be shown a fool later on, or lest you miss something that you could support and you could prove with other scriptures. So we really want to be in a position to do those things. So just be thinking about that. It'll be about a week from tomorrow, and if any of you can come, Lanny wants us to contact him at the beginning. I'll kind of need to know at the beginning of that hour how many of you want to testify, so Lanny can decide, you know, when to turn the lights on and allow us enough time. Okay, so...
A week from tomorrow.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow. And it's a short week. We've got Monday and Tuesday off, but yeah, on Friday. And we could even have some of the graduate students and so forth, too, even though we're not having a graduate program per se. But I kind of like to emphasize the Greek just because that's what's going to be offered, and we want to try to get some students involved.
Be good. Master's.
Yeah, full master's credit. It's 2 hours. It's a lecture-type class, so then, you know, there'll be homework, but it's basically a lecture-type class. I'll be teaching that. And that's as far as what we'll have as far as pure graduate credits. It'll just be Greek and that. So a person could take Greek for 4 hours, you know, for this semester. He could. Now I'm not sure yet whether Advanced Theological Principles is a full year or just a semester course.
We haven't.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So I'll check the catalog on it again, and I'm going to have to be doing some, you know, redeveloping the class anyway. So, so that's what we're looking for next year. And we're also encouraging students to do theses. If any of you are inclined to do a master's thesis, this would be a good opportunity next year where the schedule is lower for the graduate students. We really want to push that, encourage that any way we can. Okay, so we would appreciate your help there. And yes, Glenn? No, it won't be next year. Possibly the year after. We might stagger them, and you know, it might be easier for some students too if they're taking, you know, if they're taking Greek 2. Greek 2 is generally, I don't know if you guys can make a judgment too, but I always felt Greek 2 was much easier than Greek 1. Just because. Yeah, right. You know, getting through that basic grammar and getting through the difficulties of the first semester, first year, I think makes it easier the second. So it might be easier for a student who's had Greek 1 and then he takes Greek 2 and then and Hebrew 1 concurrently. It might be a little easier for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think most of us probably went through a process of relearning English.
Yeah.
At the beginning, so
yeah.
That amount of learning and that struggling that you go through will
sure.
You don't have to do if you start Greek or Hebrew a
yeah.
Year later.
That would be an advantage I hadn't considered too. Yeah, grammar is something that most people are pretty weak on, English grammar. And so good point. Okay, well, we'll see how it works anyway. But it's a matter of numbers, of course, more than anything else. They had enough numbers to offer the Greek, and I'd like to see a little bit more. I can't remember what Don said, something like, I don't know if it was 13, something like that, that we already had, you know, interested in Greek. But I'd like to get the number up around 20 or 30, you know, to get started, you know. Yeah.
We started with 30 in this class.
Yeah, I know.
31, I think.
30, something like that. Yeah, it was the largest one we ever started with. So we're down to the... It reminds me of physics at the UW. When I first started my first quarter at the UW, we had, I can't remember what the number of the course was, physics 130 or something like that. And I think I was in, yeah, and I think I was...
24, 25, 26.
Yeah, right, and that was in the honors program, so that it was 130, yeah, whatever. And we just had a whole room, you know, room 320 in physics hall, just a big lecture hall, just jammed full. And the next quarter, you know, whack, down about half of that. The next quarter, whack, down, you know. By the time I graduated, it was just a handful of us, you know. We're still in the program. I mean, it was a class like this, you know, by the time I got through. So that wasn't physics in general, but I was in the honors section of it. So by the time we were in the last 2 years, we were in with graduate students, which really killed a bunch of us off, you know. I mean, the competition, I mean, they all got the A's and we got the B's, you know. There wasn't anything you could do about it. If I had dropped out of the honors program, I'd have got a much higher grade point. Okay, so, and you guys are in competition here too, you know, I mean, it's as far as the curve is concerned, I have a very, very skewed curve for this class, because you couldn't possibly operate it on a real rigid legalistic curve, you know. 98% gets an A+ and 95% gets an F, you know. You can't do that. So, fortunately, I'm assuming you're all A or B category, even being here, you wouldn't survive this long. Okay. You got to remember to do that too, John. But I don't know what's going to happen here as far as teaching in the future. You know, John's going to be teaching us in a volunteer program. Some of the others might too. And who knows what's going to happen in the future on this. I really feel like, I know when I took Greek and Hebrew, I never dreamed I'd be teaching it in a few years. So, and if you don't have the opportunity here, even some of you will have opportunities elsewhere. So, and there may be some opportunities even in some satellite churches and things. Greek isn't the type of subject you're going to have an intense study for a few people in church, but there may be some individuals that would like some instruction and private tutoring on it, this type of thing, or you might find yourself the resident expert in a local assembly on Greek that the pastor relies on, you know. There'll be lots of opportunities, so not to mention your own personal study. Okay, we left off John chapter 14 and 27. Yeah. Okay. Let's see, did we cover...
27 is what we need to do in
that. Okay, we did 26 though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're up, John?
Yeah.
All right. Take it away.
Parasesto, to me, a cardiac, made a deliato.
Okay.
Peace I leave to you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give peace?
This is my peace, but it's
not really.
Yeah, it is teen in Maine. It's that emulse again, that adjective.
Oh, that's okay. So it's myself piece.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So it doesn't have that
concept. Mm-hmm. It's still my piece, but it's maybe even more emphatic because of this. My piece I give to you. It's interesting, too. Notice there's no article. This is a strange position because you almost have to take it as two appositional constructions. Peace, the mine. Almost, because you see, otherwise, you should have a tain in front of a reinein in order to get second attributive position, or you should put the tain out in front of and tain a main a reinein if you wanted the first attributive position, and it's neither one of those. So it's a very interesting construction. Well, go ahead.
Peace, the mind,
mm-hmm.
I give to you.
Right.
Not.
That's according. It's an adverb, so it's I guess according as.
Not according as the world gives.
Right.
I give to you.
Right.
Not.
Means to be troubled.
Okay, so be not. Don't be troubled or be mm-hmm. not troubled.
Arasso.
Does that just take a.
Okay. Well, I think what we've got here.
Take a object?
No, hey cardia is the subject.
Okay, do not let the heart.
Yes.
Oh, okay. The heart, well, is it of you though?
Yes, do not let your heart be troubled, the of you heart.
That's a strange position.
Yeah, that's interesting too. The word order is very interesting here.
Do not let the heart of you be troubled.
This one, they've got cowardly, let it be cowardly in here. Neither let it be cowardly or, you know, have the idea of fear. I guess it's the idea of, you know, in being in fear. And that's also a third person imperative. Deliao. Okay, now these are both third-person imperatives. And remember, in English, we don't have a third-person imperative. We have second person. But a third-person imperative has got the idea, for the Hebrew students, of adjective. It's to let somebody do something. So it involves a kind of a permission on one person's part with, or a wish or desire for someone else to do something. So do not let your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid, I guess, or cowardly or whatever. Shrink back for fear. Okay. But those are third-person imperatives. Okay, are there any other questions here? I think those are the only ones that might present any kind of a difficulty. And then that Iranian Tain Amin, very interesting construction.
I don't understand how to go ahead and say it's
appositional. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd have to be considered substantive now.
Yeah.
You know, the peace, the mine, you know, the mine piece, you know, the piece of me, that kind of thing. In other words, you have to treat it as a functioning like a noun, because now the article is having to be taken as...
Meaning himself,
isn't it? Huh?
Like
no, not really himself, but... yeah, the mine kind of piece. The piece, the mine... Yeah, it's...
And he's not saying
BTC
either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that nature, that characteristic.
You know, what you could do is either do that or just say you have... you omitted the first article, you know, just a syntagogue or something where you used something that was intended to be said was not said for emphasis. Just have to kind of make a decision about it. Yes.
Would that article be in, I think it's kind of odd maybe, but in reference to peace, and saying peace, that which is mine?
Yeah, that's the kind of idea. What you get the feeling is that the first statement is general, peace. And now he's saying it's not just any old kind of peace, but the my kind of peace, you know, that which is mine, that particular peace which is mine. So you almost could either say this peace, the mine peace, you know, my peace. I give to you. And you might even take an understood repetition of peace there, and that would be another way to look at it. Mm-hmm.
In comparison to the following statement where he's comparing it to as the world gives.
Right, right. Or another way to look at it would be that it should have been tain emain erainain, but the word order was changed just on purpose to first introduce the concept of peace, and then to specify it by saying the mind peace. So that could be done too. It's, in other words, it's real hard to put it into a rigid rule this way, but it seems to be that, you know, there's a number of ways to look at it, but they all end up saying the same thing. In effect, you start with the general and then you specify it.
What would you classify the distinction between pain and main here and, say, putting a moo in here?
I think the same thing we mentioned yesterday. It just seems to have a little bit more punch to it, a little bit more emphatic, just because it's not used as frequently, for one thing. And because the article is, you know, on there, you get this more of a definite, specific idea. You still, you know, if there was an article on peace and then you had moo with it, you still have a definiteness there. But I think you wouldn't have the same emphasis on my as you would by putting tain and main in there. It just draws attention, more attention to the my aspect of it. And so it'll be interesting to see how Rotherham does it, see whether he puts a, you know, emphasis mark around that, around my, just to indicate that this is using the adjective and it's got a more intense idea. You know, just exactly what the nature of the emphasis is, you know, you have to decide that by the context, but I think that would be the bottom line, is that it's more emphatic. More emphatic and more definite, more specific. Okay. Verse 28 then. But there's no more questions on that. Okay, Jim?
Okay.
Hoti Puru, my approach to Mahatera, Hoti Ho Patera, Nazonu Esten.
Okay.
You heard that I said to you, I'm going under or something, away, going away.
Yeah, going under, literally. And although we wouldn't translate it that way usually. But that's what it is from Hupo and Ago.
Going away.
I guess that'd be fine for our purposes now, avoiding getting into word study on this. Okay. I would like to see if somebody ever wants to do that, do a real deep, in-depth word study on that one. That's always been a fascinating one to me.
And I'm coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have loved me, then you would that be joyous or be glad or something like that.
Okay, yeah, this first agapate is imperfect form. You don't see them too often. So if you were loving me, okay, if you were loving me, then you would rejoice. And that, let me check it here. That's an aorist passive indicative, so it's not a. Okay, that's just an aorist. So if you were loving me, you would rejoice.
That I'm going to the Father. Because the Father's greater than me.
Okay. Yes, because the Father is greater than me. So if you were loving me, then you would likely rejoice. That on is just a particle to indicate this conditional relationship here, even though we don't have subjunctives here, but we have just indicative.
What's positive?
On isn't really post-positive, I don't think. It doesn't need to be in that position. It's funny that it comes, you know, you usually expect to see it before the verb, that's true. So, but I don't think it's a real rigid thing as far as its position. I'm trying to think now where you most commonly see it, I guess.
You think of the AI, any person.
Yeah, that's even more common. Sometimes you see Aeon together, you know, one word. It's one of those ones that's real hard to translate. But it's more functional. They put it down as post-positive.
Well, that's your emphasis in the class.
Yeah. I think it seems like somebody asked me about it and I looked it up and that's the way it was. I suppose we could consider it post-positive here for this last clause. You know, if you could start the next clause as, you know, if you were loving me, you would rejoice. Yeah, and that would fit then, putting it after ekarite. Okay. It's either that or it's not a rigidly held rule. You know, most commonly post positive. Yes.
Ekarite, that's a subjunctive there.
No, it's just a. Let me check it here for sure. I don't. No, it's just a second person plural, second aorist passive. It's an aorist passive from Cairo. And it's not subjunctive. And the first one, the agapate, is neither. That's just an imperfect. So this would be one of the types with the both of them in the indicative.
The reason on that is because it's nice to see that.
Yeah, which was the type C now? Which do with the verbs first and
contrary to fact?
Oh yeah, okay. Now I think your type A is the type A that he's talking about here. We're both I can't remember type A or type B. Different books do use different categories for it, but. The type where you have both of verbs in the indicative. Does it say anything about on there?
It's usually used with do.
Okay.
That's what it says with both of them in the indicative. It uses A is with the verb indicative.
Yeah. Okay, it doesn't mention on here, but here we have an example. Yeah, on type C, okay, past tense of the indicative. Okay, that's what we've got. And the clause of the verb in the past tense. That's really what this is, a type C. Both of them are past tense. The first one's imperfect, the second one's aorist. And, what's that?
There's a variant.
Oh, there is? Okay.
Not
okay, well.
I got a variant.
Oh, all right. Well, if that's the case, then that changes things. But I don't think it would make much difference. Yeah, as it stands in the text.
It's taken from Nestle, and Nestle has the variant in it.
Well, as it stands, it'd be a type C condition here, both past tense verb forms, and the second one using the particle on.
Well, what Jesus is actually saying is that they don't really love them, and they're not good.
Well, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, if you were loving me, you would rejoice. Well, yes, I think what he really is saying, in effect, is that they don't really love him the way they need to, and of course, that's going to be demonstrated by the events in the garden and so forth. Yeah.
Because they're sorrowful, he's going away.
Right, they're sorrowful, he's going away, rather than. Mm-hmm. In other words, they're not seeing him as full spiritual eyes and really loving him in the sense that the full knowledge would portray. And this isn't the first time he's told them things like that.
The rejoicing is to be because he's going toward the Father.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's your pros ton patera there. You get John's phrases. Pros. Is it? Yeah. It's interesting here, too, to compare this hupago with, it was in the previous verse, or I guess a few verses up, with the poriomai, the going here. Well, excuse me, even in the first part of this verse, he uses hupago first, and then he says, because I am poriomai prostont patera. And then, of course, the qualifier, because the Father is greater than I. There's your comparison construction, maison, mu, estim. So one way to do comparison is use an adjective and then use the genitive for your thing you're comparing to. Literally, greater of me. Father is greater of me. Okay, Eric, verse 29, I guess you're up. Okay.
Now I have found, you before came to pass.
Okay, this is a little tricky. This verb does look like to find, but it's actually from Lego, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's a
Henry. Yeah, okay.
Now I told you before, while it came to pass.
Yeah, before it comes to pass, or before it might occur or something, it's just an infinitive, genestai. So you almost have to put an it there. You almost have to put an impersonal idea in English, otherwise, because otherwise you wouldn't have any kind of a subject. So, and now I have told you before it happens, before it comes to pass, before it occurs.
You know that when it
happens,
you might believe.
Yes.
You will believe.
Okay, in order that when it happens or when it might occur, and there's a subjunctive form there. Let's see, it's a second aorist middle subjunctive. Yeah, there's no futures so much, but it's just the aspect. The aspect of it is punctiliar, indefinite. So that whenever it might occur, we will translate it by a future subjunctive, but. You should believe, and that this tuseta is a subjunctive also. That's an aorist active.
When it, after it has happened, yet not having happened, so it really is an aorist, even the way we translate it.
Oh, yes, I see what you're saying. You know, in relationship to the action of the believing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believing.
Right, just like your participial relationships, you know. Yeah. Okay. And in that sense, you might even translate this way. In order that when it might have occurred, you should believe. You know, you almost get the idea that when it might have occurred, when it shall have occurred, then you will believe, because the believing is going to follow the event. Okay. Yes, the genestai is a second aorist middle infinitive. And then the genetai is a third person singular second aorist middle subjunctive. That's a finite form. Genestai was an infinitive, the earlier one, but the genetai is a finite form. So it's referring to it. It might occur. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's middle form, but it's, I guess you can call it active meaning, I suppose. Okay, any other questions? Verse 30.
No longer
Pala means many, many things actually here, neuter plural.
I don't get it. Okay. No longer I speak everything with you.
Yes, no, the idea is I will no longer be speaking many things with you.
Oh, future, be speaking.
Yeah, I will no longer speak, I shall speak, see, it's future. I shall no longer speak many things with you. Yes, for the ruler of this world comes.
And in me, nothing in me it finds nothing.
Right.
No wise.
Right, no wise or something. Yeah, you got that double negative idea. So in me, he finds nothing at all, you know. Not in me, he finds nothing. Yeah, excuse me, has nothing. Yeah, this is from Echo. Mm-hmm. It's present form. So in me, he is having nothing. He's having nothing at all in me. Good. Okay. So I'm no longer speaking many things. No longer will I speak many things with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he is having nothing at all in me. Okay. 31. Glenn, Mark.
All cannot know who cosmos hoti agapo ton the terrapo and te lato moi ho matera kupos poyo. Agarista agumen and tusen. But nor does the world know that I love the Father, and as the Father
okay, good.
I'm not sure what that
Which one now? Intolane? That's just commandment. That's just a noun. Edokan is your verb there. Didomi.
And even as the Father has commanded me.
Or given commandment to me.
Or has given commandment to me.
Let me check. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. I was looking at, I'm looking back and forth between two texts. There's a difference here.
No
very large difference here. Okay. That's the reason I got fingers in both places here. So the, in UBS, it's Entele Lato, and that Enete Lato. I would assume that that is from Entelein, you know, from the same thing, to give commandment. And then in the other text, in Westcott and Hort, you've got Entelein Edokin. So. Okay. Now it makes sense. Got to make sure I'm always looking at this text when I'm. No, they don't. Let me see what the parsing guide has. Okay, they've got it like UBS. And it's from entelomai. That's the third person singular, first aorist, middle indicative, entelomai. So entelomai with two lambdas there. That must be from, you know, a verb built from the noun entelain, or vice versa. So just trying to translate a command then. And as the Father commanded.
Even as the Father has commanded.
Presumably.
It's just an error. Even as the Father commanded me.
Right. Right.
Thus I do.
Mm-hmm. Even as the Father.
Thus I do.
Mm-hmm.
Arise, let us go hence.
Yes. Good. Arise, let us go hence, sir. Let us go from here.
What is Gno from? What form is that?
Gno? Okay, that's just a subjunctive. Yeah, second aorist active subjunctive.
Gno.
Right, from Gnosko. That's one of those root aorist type things. Almost everything's gone except for just, in this case, the gamma nu is the only thing that's left from the original word. Mm-hmm.
One thing to remember about the UBS text is on variants is that they state in the beginning that they have included only those variants that have some impact on translation. There's not a certain other criteria, but primarily that's what it is.
Yeah, this one wouldn't be.
There's a large difference. The sense, translation sense is relatively insignificant. So
right.
That's why you won't find them. So and that's why I keep that way on here.
They include just a minimal amount, that,
and their purpose is for translators.
Mm-hmm.
So they produce this whole thing
for which the translators. Okay, good point. And it's good to go through this to see it in practicality, you know. You'll see how often these things do vary. Okay, I'm kind of debating here whether to go into chapter 15. I'd like to definitely do 16. Well, 17 would be nice too, wouldn't it? And 18. I want to get into the epistles and things too, so. Is everybody in agreement? Let's skip 15 and go to 16 and 17. I'm just trying to, in the interest of time, and also trying to get some of the juiciest theology here. keep the interest up. And then we'll, after this, I think we'll move to some in Romans, some in Ephesians, some in Hebrews, some in the book of Revelation, and take any other requests, you know. We don't need to do big sections of them, but I want to do enough of them so you get the feel of what's going on. We've already done quite a bit with Colossians just in the diagramming. Okay, chapter 16, verse 1. I need to keep track of which ones we do though, so that's on the test time. Let's see. We did John 1 and 2, didn't we?
And 3.
We did 3. We did get through. Okay. So, and 14. Okay. Chapter 16 and verse 1, and Dale, I believe you're up next.
Santa, la lei, la la, lei, ca, human, kina, me, ganda, this, they, that. These things I have been speaking to you in order that I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, scandalizo means to stumble.
In order that you may not be stumbled.
Yes, in order that you may not be stumbled. Okay. Yeah, it's the first aorist passive subjunctive here. So you really got a good one here. You got a long verb with the first aorist, the aorist passive subjunctive form of it. Let's see those two very, very often. But you've got a hina clause here, so you got the subjunctive and you got aorist passive. The aorist being indicating the aspect. Also, that lalalika is a perfect form from laleo. So these things I have spoken to you in order that you be not stumbled, that you not be stumbled. Okay, and who's next? Greg? Verse 2.
Abo tuna rogu. Kima. Alar isai. Ora. Ina pa. Apekena. Kima. Dokse la treon. Pro serin so zu.
Okay.
I think that the. They are leading us together.
Okay. Yeah, it said that the word synagogue does mean to lead together. But this is apo synagogus. Look at your next verb there. Poyusin humas. They are going to make you something. And the something they're going to make you is apo synagogus.
So I'll
yeah, cast you out of the synagogue. Yeah, they're going to make you away from the synagogue. In other words, they're going to excommunicate you from the synagogue.
Also, that's a noun.
Yeah, it's a noun. Well, it would be an adjective, I guess. You'd probably call it a predicate adjective here, or something of that nature. They're going to make you. You got a double adjective construction here. Well, a double accusative construction. One of them is a noun, and the other is a adjectival complement, I guess you'd say, because this would be an adjective. Yeah, that's a very interesting word. And again, you multiply those prepositional prefixes here to get an interesting picture. So they're going to make you off from the synagogue or expel you from the synagogue is the idea. Okay. Yes, you've got poiesusin, and then you've got humas, that's one accusative, and aposunagogus is the other accusative. And to make somebody something.
But the hour is coming in order that all the ones killing you may give glory. I think I know a lot like trying to do with service.
Yeah, sacred service is what they give here. Doing
service and security to God.
Yeah. Yeah, prosferein is to carry toward, you know, the idea, and they use it for offering, you know, to carry your offering toward God. So, and this dokse here is real tricky. It looks like the word for glory, but it's from dokeo, and it's actually the third person singular, first aorist active subjunctive of dokeo with a kappa there, because the kappa with plus the sigma is C, and so you get, it looks just like dokse. Looks like the noun, that noun for glory. But it means, so doketo means to think or to consider. So the idea is the time is coming when everyone, but it's coming an hour in order that everyone killing you will think, might think, a sacred service to be presenting to God or offering to God. In other words, they're going to think they're offering a sacred service to God by killing you. What's that? Oh, for dokse? It's an aorist active subjunctive. Aorist active, third person singular, aorist active subjunctive. So you might translate it consider or imagine. It's from doke'o, delta, omicron, kappa, epsilon, omega.
The only difference is that that would be, in one sense, would be right.
Well, yeah, the Yoda subscript would be right for a dative form of it. So there wouldn't be any difference at all. Context would be the only way you could tell. No, you can tell it's got to be a verbal idea, so. Because otherwise you don't have any. Well, let's see, how could we do this? In glory. Well, it would still be awkward. You wouldn't have the verb in the right place. So I think it really is the only context that's going to tell. Okay. Yeah, to carry toward, literally, if you broke it down. Because pharaoh means to carry, but prosphero, it means to offer, you know, when you're offering to God. Carrying, I'm sure it's a picture of carrying your sacrifices toward God. Huh? Yes, that's an infinitive. And Well, let's see. Apparently there's a variant on this, too. Let me check over here. Well, both my texts have prosferain with the new. The parsing guide here has prosferae with the new left off, and that makes it a present active indicative.
Yeah.
What's Nestle's got?
It's prosferain.
Okay. So if it's prosferain, it's an infinitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. Yeah, to be carrying a sacred, yeah, right. Sacred service would be the object of that infinitive. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you've got a bit of a problem here because the subject of an infinitive is also an accusative. So you have to make some decisions on the basis of the syntax, on the basis of the context, and as to whether it's a subject or object. That's the tricky thing with the infinitives. Both their subjects and their objects will be an accusative case. Okay. Verse 3 then. And who's next? Price.
Chi, Delta, Grace, Olsen, Hoti, Luke, Technoson, Tone, Patera, Zia, and that.
Okay.
And they will be making that I know not the Father.
Okay, consider Tauta as the object of Poiesusin. So they will be making these things or doing these things. They will be doing these things because, Hoti, they will be doing these things because Uke Egnosan, Ton Patera, Ude Emet. So that it's giving you the reason why they're doing these things. Right. Yeah, because then it's actually an aorist form, so because they did not know the Father nor me, they knew neither the Father nor me. They'll be doing these things because they knew neither the Father nor me. Okay. Interesting to use an aorist form there. It would indicate, again, that at the time they do these things, they have not been, indicative of that in their lives and in the past up to that point they had not known God. Okay, verse 4 and Steve.
Allah is the Lelaka, you men, Hina Hotan, Delphi, He Torah, Alton, the Nabon, Nuete, Alton, Hoti, Ego, Apon, Uben.
Okay.
See, but these things I have spoken to you in order that when the hour comes, or
yes, might come. It's a subjunctive. Yeah, whenever the hour might come.
Whenever the hour might come. See. Name, moment, I don't know what that means.
It means to remember. So that you may remember,
remember them.
Remember
these things.
Yeah, it's almost kind of redundant. You may remember them that I said them to you or something like that. You might have told them to you. Is there a variant that drops that out?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you might remember them that I said them unto you. Mm-hmm. The second outcome goes actually with the OT.
You almost have to do that. Either that or... another way you might do it is to make the first of them after modify hour. You know, whenever the hour of them should come, you may remember them. That might be a better way to take it. Now, that probably is a better way to take it if you're going to do that, because I'm not sure that I said, you know, that said takes a genitive like that. I think remember takes a genitive. I don't think the other does, but I can recall. So that's probably what you have to do. Just make the first one the hour of them, when their hour comes, when the hour of these things, where the hour for them arrives, you know, the hour of them. I'm pretty sure that's correct. That's the way they put it in the New World, but you never trust them. Okay. Any other questions there? And then apparently there is this variant where it drops the second out tone out. But Westcott and Hort puts both Atones in there also. Does Nestle put both of them in?
I'm sure it does. UBS, I think, wants to rep.
Okay.
Al drops both of them.
B has them both in then, probably, huh?
Al drops both
of them. Al has both
gone. Yeah, P66, A and B have them both in. Al drops both of them. Oh, that's...
So does A and B. Or no, they have them.
Yeah, A and B have them. If you drop them both out, you get a little bit, it's a little bit awkward, really. There's no problem with the hour coming. Whenever the hour comes, you should remember that I said to you. And what did he say to them? Okay. Well, I think I see what happens here, too. There's a verse. The verse divisions are varying too. Notice, I guess that is starting another sentence, either way you take it. Okay, there's no, that doesn't fit. All right, we still have another clause here to this verse. You know, it's another sentence.
Oh, it's good one.
Yeah, it does.
Now says a two men, XRK.
Luke 8:14, Amen. Mm-hmm.
These things,
okay. Yeah, out of the beginning, or from the beginning, you might even say, or from the beginning being the source. And then the uk emo epon, so I did not speak.
These things I did not speak to you
from the beginning, yeah.
I was with you.
Because I was with you, yeah. These things I did not speak to you from the beginning because I was with you. Okay.
Who were with you?
Amen is I was with you. It's remember you've got those imperfect forms for the past, you don't have an aorist form for. And, oh, I see. Okay. No, that's just a verb form. It's an imperfect from Amy, first person singular. Okay. And verse 5, Dale. Just get you in under the belt. Okay.
Now I go toward the one and no one.
Right, no one out of you. Mm-hmm. Right.
Where are you going?
Yes. No one out of you is asking me, where are you going? Okay. Erotao. There's different words for questioning. Apokrise, of course, is from is a different one. This is from Erotao. Let me just check. Yeah, I want to get the full. Yeah, it's epsilon rho omega tau alpha omega. This is a third person present active subjunctive or indicative. It's the same form for subjunctive or indicative. Huh? It's regular if you consider contract verbs regular. It's an ao verb, you know. So you have that contraction. But other than that, it's regular. Okay. We'll stop here and continue tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, I guess. This is Thursday, isn't it? Continue Wednesday.